To turn, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke, and the chapter 8. During the time that we were studying the book of Romans together, every now and then I broke up that study and came to the Gospel of Luke. And having concluded the study in Romans, we're coming back to Luke, at least for now. So Luke and the chapter 8. The beginning of the chapter describes how the Lord, as he was engaged in ministry, was accompanied not just by the 12, but by others, including some women, among whom included Mary Magdalene. And what follows then is what we're going to look at today, the parable of the sower and the seed, the parable of the soils. And certainly one of the relationships between these opening words and then that parable is that we have examples given of good soil hearers, where the Lord had worked in the hearts of these women and they were able to leave all behind and then follow the Lord in his ministry and minister to him. So we're reading from the verse 1, Luke chapter 8, verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." When his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" That is, they're asking what the meaning is. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience or with endurance. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Let us each pray the Lord will come and minister to our hearts today. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for your holy word. And we thank thee that these words spoken at the Sea of Galilee all of those years ago are still relevant today. They are still being fulfilled today. Lord, it is our earnest desire that all in this company will be the good ground hearers. Oh Lord, I ask for that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God to be enabled to preach aright. Grant help, I pray. Come and minister to every soul. In our Lord's great name we do ask. Amen. Amen. The one thing that an arable farmer really longs for is a harvest. Or if you have a garden at home and you're growing vegetables, the one thing you're longing for is that the vegetables really would grow, that there'll be something that you're able to eat. Now, no farmer or gardener assumes that this great target, this great aim, can be reached without effort, without labor. A few years ago, when I was over at our churches in South Australia, one of the men there was speaking of how when his ancestors arrived on the Eyre Peninsula, that as he had gone through different portions of land seeking to decide which he was going to seek to buy, he was looking at the gum trees in order to ascertain something of the fertility of the soil. But as he looked at the trees and recognized here is an area that seems good for growing grain, the man would not in any way have thought that this is going to be easy. Much effort was going to have to be engaged in to saw down those trees, to have the roots removed, to prepare that ground for the sowing of the grain seed. Having removed the trees, there was going to need to be the ploughing, the harrowing, all of this effort put into the work before the sowing of the seed. And coming to this parable then, we see not only the vital importance of having fruit, and that is one of the great lessons of the parable. It is absolutely vital that there is fruit and fruit that abides. But the parable also emphasizes to us that the soil is absolutely vital. In fact, there won't be lasting fruit unless there is good soil. And so, as I've said, the question arising then is not merely is there fruit, though that is the important question, but what is my heart like? Because this is what the soil then, or the ground, symbolizes. And these four different types of soil that our Lord described, these four ground types that the Lord described in the parable, they are describing four different types of heart, four different types of hearers of the Word of God. Now, in the parable, there are four types of soil, but there's one sower, and the one sower is sowing the same seed. So while at the end there are these four very different outcomes, the problem is not the sower. And most certainly the problem is not the seed. What is the problem with the three problem soils? The problem is the ground. Only one type of soil was in the end productive. And as we come to the parable, we must be clear that it's only the good ground that is speaking of the converted man or the converted woman, the converted child. The other soil types do not represent those that are converted. Now they do, at least some of them, represent those that are religious, and even those that have had religious desires and motives. But only the good soil represents the convert. Now, given my opening remarks, no farmer expects that there can be a harvest without a preparing work to be done to the soil. And this then is one of the great implications of the parable. If there is to be good soil, there must be a preparation work that is done. Of course, the Word of God makes it clear that there is a preparation work done before the good seed of the Word of God is received. Before the good seed of the Word of God brings a harvest. And the Word of God speaks continuously of the law work that is done in the heart, where the Holy Spirit of God is taking the law of God and showing the sinner, you are a lawbreaker, bringing conviction of sin. Now, it's only when that preparation work has been done is there good soil ready for the seed. You see, the seed, the Word of God, as it speaks to us of the message of God's grace, the message of God's grace is not fully understood. It is not fully received by the three problematic soils. It is only those in whose hearts there has been this preparation work, where there has been the removal of the old roots, where the soil is plowed up, where there's been this harrowing work. And then, as the message of grace is sown, it is received. Now, today what I want us to focus on are these problematic ground types. And as the Lord makes clear, the ground speaks of hearts. And so I've entitled the message, Problematic Ground, Problematic Hearts. And I want to see, first of all, with you, so we're going to take each of the three problematic soils in turn. The problem of hardness. The problem of hardness. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The wayside here is talking about a tightly packed, a compacted pathway. You know, sometimes if you're out walking in some bushland, and there's the official path, but then there's some other place where people have walked through. And the more people have walked through there, the harder and more compacted that ground has become. And in time then, it has become a path. That's really what the Lord is describing here. And so back in those days, where there were large portions of land used for arable farming, the land was really divided up by these pathways. And so the farmer, as he was going to his land, he would walk through another area, but he would walk this well-trodden path to come to his place. Now, the farmer then that had ploughed and harrowed his field, as he was scattering the seed, some would go on to that common pathway. But that seed would not take root. Because the ground was hard, the ground was compacted. What did happen? The birds came and they stole away the seed. And the Lord then goes on to describe the meaning of this particular soil type or this ground type. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. So the birds represent the devil. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so the Lord is speaking of these hard heart hearers. And the seed is sown. They have the privilege of hearing the Word of God. But the ground is hard. And so the seed, as it were, just lies there. But Satan has every purpose to prevent the possibility of that seed taking root. Satan comes and he steals away the seed. The person in view then here is no concern over their soul. no deep thought in their hearts of the reality that they have sinned against God, that they have offended a holy God. And they are determined to go on without God. J.C. Ryle, as he commented on this, he said, "You'll always find the devil at church. He is ready to steal away the seed." And so there are those that come into a meeting like this and they can come in hard of heart. And the devil is determined that the seed will very quickly be taken away. Spurgeon spoke of this as Satan's punctuality, Satan's power, and Satan's purpose. The devil never turns up to church late. The devil is there to take away the seed as soon as it is sown. His purpose is to prevent faith in those that hear. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Satan is described there as the God, with a small g, the God of this world. He has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The heart of man is hard, and Satan is determined that it will remain so, that the seed will not impact, that this ground will remain compacted. And so what is the result then? The heart is unproductive. The heart is not bringing forth fruit. Now remember, God created us that we would bring forth fruit. God created us that we would live to the glory of God. And so what happens when that ground is hardened? And of course, this is describing man in his natural state. As the heart is hardened, man cannot fulfill the purpose that God has created him for. But perhaps there's one even in the meeting today, and this very rightly describes you. You're here in God's house, but you're just longing for the meeting to be over and to get away. You sit in a place like this, and you have no concern over your own soul. I think of those words of Lamentations 1 verse 12. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" And in the context of the book of Lamentations, the words there are speaking of those that could walk by the city of Jerusalem in its destroyed state and not be affected. But then the words carry us to the suffering of Jesus Christ. Can you even think of Jesus Christ and what he suffered for sinners, and to you it is meaningless? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? If that is the case, is it not time that you wept over the hardness of your heart? Is it not time that you confessed before God the hardness of your heart and cried out to him he would break it up, that you would even be given a new heart? The first problem ground then is the problem of hardness. But I want to see then, secondly, there is the problem of superficiality. Verse 6 says, "Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Now, when we compare what we have here in Luke's gospel with the account in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, it's very clear what the Lord is describing here, that it's where there's a great bedrock, and over the bedrock, there is a very shallow amount of soil. And so as the sower is sowing, it has all the appearance of soil, but there's actually no depth to that soil. And so verse 13, it says, "They on the rock," this bedrock, "are they which when they hear receive the word with joy." And so in one sense, we might say that outwardly, it looks more promising than the hard hearts. they receive the word with joy, and or but these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And so you think of where the soil is very shallow. The seed in the earthly realm germinates. But as the little plant is trying to grow, it cannot, because as it's trying to put its roots down, all it's touching is that hard rock. And the Lord uses this then as an illustration of one of the types of what we might call a temporary believer, where someone has had some attraction to the seed, to the word. As the Lord put it there, they receive the word with joy. And so there's something about the Bible that they actually find to be attractive. They heard about peace. They heard about forgiveness. They heard about joy. They heard about the way to heaven. And those themes had some attraction to this type of hearer. And they even seem to receive Christ. On the outward gaze, it looks like they've come to the Lord. And initially, all things seem great. But there is this problem. No root. No root. And so it says then in the verse 13 that in time of temptation, the time of trial, they fall away. Or in some of the other gospel accounts, it speaks of how they are offended. So there are various things in the scripture that they were attracted to. But as they go through trials, as we all do, they're disappointed. They thought that by becoming a Christian in an outward sense, that they wouldn't have trials anymore. And so when the trials and troubles come, they're disillusioned, they're offended, and they're gone. For a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now this is not saying that there are some people that are truly converted and they lose that salvation. That would be to contradict other scriptures. What this is describing is that they had all the outward appearance that they seemed to believe, but there was no root, no reality. And can't we see the accuracy of what the Lord is describing here? Maybe you can even think of someone that had some outward profession, and when they professed the Lord's name, all looked good. And you said, surely, here is one that is converted. And yet, very short time later, there was some trouble. And they want nothing more to do with the gospel. They abandon it. They turn away. 1 John 2, verse 19, it says, they went out from us. They were not of us. They never had the reality. Now, if you're going to be truly converted then, you will have to recognize that there are difficulties. That just as the sun shines upon the ground that is deep, the sun shines on the ground that is shallow. There are troubles. There are difficulties. There are obstacles. And the Lord then talked about counting the cost. Of course, this is something that so many preachers fail to mention today. And they want to present all of the wonderful things about the gospel. And the gospel is full of wonderful things. But being a Christian, while yes, there's that assurance of everlasting glory, and what an assurance that is for the true convert, there'll be troubles. There'll be trials. One of the greatest difficulties perhaps is confessing your own unworthiness. You have to confess that if you're ever to be saved, and all through your Christian life you will be brought to confess it. The Lord said, enter ye in at the straight gate, or enter in at the narrow gate. You have to humble yourself. But those in view here, the superficial, they were happy with the superficial, but soon discovered that the superficial would not do. The problem of hardness, the problem of superficiality. I want to see then, thirdly, the problem of distraction. The problem of distraction. And the third type of ground then is the thorny ground. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And so here, perhaps the thorns themselves above ground level have been cleared away, but the roots were still there. There hadn't been this removal work that I was describing earlier. And so as the seed was sown, yes, there was germination, and there's this initial growth, but as the grain is trying to grow, the thorns are also growing. Brambles, the thistles, and what do? They choke out the grain, the good seed. And in verse 14, the Lord explains, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. They are choked with cares. The word there has this idea, well, ultimately it brings about the idea of anxiety. They are filled with the things of this life which become a distraction to them, which sometimes then the Bible talks about as anxious cares. And so they have these things in this life that preoccupy them. Also, riches, and perhaps the pursuit of riches, the pleasures of this life. And so, they want these things to dominate in life, but they would also like a little bit of religion. They would also like a little assurance that in the end all is going to be well. So let me fill my life up with other things. Let me fill my life up with the pursuit of riches. Let me fill my life up with pleasure. But I want a little insurance policy that in the end, all will be well. The Lord says it cannot be. Those distractions, they choke the grain. And then in the end, there's no fruit. Because remember, in the end, that is what is required. There must be fruit. They want salvation. They even want forgiveness of sin. But they don't want repentance. They don't want this breaking up of the heart. They have other gods, other things that they want to take the place of God. And so, yes, while initially they don't want to abandon the word entirely, the Lord is saying you can't have both. You think of what is described here, the thorns. The first time we read of thorns in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. The curse. And surely at least part of the idea of what the Lord is saying here is that you want even things that the Lord has cursed as well as the Lord's blessing. It's not entirely that, for there are things here that have some legitimacy. Is it right to have a home? Is it right to have money? Is it right to work? Of course, all of those things are right. But they have to be kept in their proper perspective. And for these hearers, they were not kept in their proper perspective. They became a distraction. And the Lord is showing them that the Lord must have first place. The Lord must have first place. And so there are these three groups of people, these three types of hearers. But praise God, the Lord did come to speak of the good ground hearers. Verse 8, other fell in good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. At the end of verse 15, they bring forth fruit with patience or with perseverance. And so praise God, the Lord did not only describe those three problematic soil types, but he said there are good ground hearers. Now this in part is God's prerogative. It must be the Lord that breaks up the hard ground. It must be the Lord that comes and shows the sinner he's a lawbreaker, and he has great need of the Lord. And yet the word of the Lord also speaks of us breaking up the fallow ground. It's your duty, dear sinner, to be broken before God. It's your duty today to confess that your ground, your heart is like hard ground. That the soil is shallow. That there is this choking. And in your heart today, then, there must be this brokenness. Lord, give me a new heart. In Mark's account of this parable, Mark 4, verse 12, speaking of those that do not hear aright, because remember the Lord is saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those that do not hear aright, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. Your need is that you would be converted, turned around, forgiven, your sin sent away. How can sin be sent away? Only through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today then, there is this invitation in the gospel, will you come to Christ? You'll never bring forth the fruit that pleases him without Christ. It's impossible. Here is your great need to recognize, yes, that you're a lawbreaker. But praise God, there is one who has kept the law and one who has met the law's demands on the sinner's behalf. Come to him. And maybe today as you sit in the meeting, you're a true convert and we rejoice in that. But the Lord's people are not to go home today saying, how good is it that I'm a good ground hearer? Rather, we are to go home saying, how good is the Lord that I became a good ground hearer? Had it been left to myself, I would be the hard, compacted ground. But it was God's mercy that ever came and broke up that ground. It was God's grace that ever showed me first I was a lawbreaker, but then his mercy that ever pointed me to Jesus Christ. There's no room for pride in hearing this parable. In fact, as the Lord's people, we are to recognize there is still some of the hardness. There is still some of the superficial. There is still some of this choking, this distracting. Can you say today before the Lord that your heart is perfect? We still need the Lord to do this groundwork. And we praise God for the seed having taken root. whole life needs to continue in repentance and brokenness before the Lord. May the Lord do that afresh today. May the Lord deliver us from the hardness, from the superficial, from the distractions. We pray the Lord will take His word and write it upon all of our hearts. We'll bow in prayer. Perhaps there is one in our gathering and you're not converted. Your heart is hard. Is it not time that you would seek the Lord? Is it not time that you would cry to Him for mercy? Don't go away again without our Lord. Our gracious Father, we give Thee thanks for Thy word. O Lord, we thank Thee for every good ground hearer here. We confess that in ourselves we do not have a good and honest heart, that it's only the Lord's work in us. Lord, we pray then that Thou wilt lead us on and, O Lord, continue to work in us, we pray. And for those that are here without Thee, O Lord, we cry to Thee that today that work will be done in them and they will be brought even to a saving knowledge of Thyself. Continue with us, we pray, in our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. We'll sing some words from 269 in closing. In 269, and these are words of penitence, I've wandered far away from God. Now I am coming home, the paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. And we'll sing the verses 1, 4, and 6. 1, 4, and 6 as we stand together in closing, please.
I've wandered far away. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, evermore to roam. By grace I will be Thine, Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. I will be Thine, Lord, I'm coming home.
Verse 6.
I need His cleansing word, I know. Now I'm coming home. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. thy grace I will be thine. Lord, I'm coming home.
Our gracious Father, we thank thee for help given today. We cry to thee that the good seed will indeed fall into good ground. We thank thee for the refreshments. Bless those to us and bless our fellowship together. Undertake for the Sunday school and the adult class. And we pray that thou will be with us throughout this day. Bless the meeting later this afternoon. Again, we cry to thee that thou wilt come and visit with thy people. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.